Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth gives us truth and help us understand what we're up against in this world. When we think according to God's word, we see things in a greater way. We begin to see things from his perspective. And walking in the light is different than being consumed by darkness. See, walking in the light, you have a choice. You see what to do. God gives you his word. And you make a choice of your own free will to embrace that word and do it. And you're in control. Your eyes are in your head. But when you're consumed by darkness, you don't know what you're doing. You're just trying to do what you're driven to do things. And there are things that appeal to people. It's just, you know, but if God didn't give it, it's not good. If God didn't give it in the first place, stay away from it. It's just like fear. God gave us love, power, and a sound mind. He didn't give us the spirit of fear because fear is evil. God didn't create fear. Another thing, he didn't create lust. Lust is the desires of or passions of demons on people, on humans. Lust is something that God didn't give. It's a twisted way of looking at life. And just because people become lustful, most times it's just a temptation. The enemy tempts us with his desires. It comes out, some things come out of darkness. God made us in light. And we're naturally attracted to the light. Now, when the fall happened, a lot of things changed. It changed our course, what we would gravitate to. But in order for men to walk away from the things of God, they had to be deceived and driven to darkness. This happened a long time ago. But you have to always look at what did God do in the first place. And if you have faith in you and you stick with what God did in the first place, you won't walk in darkness. Now, we all desire love. Love is of God. So if we walk in the ways of God, we will have what we need in life and not lack. See, sometimes people believe the wrong things about the Lord because of darkness, not because of God. They're not looking at who he is as he is. They're looking at what was said about him or how things seem to them from a dark perspective. This is why the word of God will clear up all the misnomers, all the lies, all the ridicule. The word of God will expose it. Light always exposes darkness. Now, when we first met the Lord, when we first met God, this is what happened. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. He came to evaluate the situation, the disaster. Because God, this is everything God was doing in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is communication to us and also to his creation, before us. Watch verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now watch this. Now watch closely. Listen carefully. Verse 4. God saw the light that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. So God is making a distinction. He always does. Light is better. He chose the light. He saw the light was good and divided the light from the darkness. Now he's using light and darkness to make a statement. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. See, in this restoration week here, we see God is restoring the earth. Something happened for it to become void and desolate. See, sometimes people, they try to compress chapter 1 into a creation event. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. But after that, he was restoring what was, what went wrong. Between verses 1 and 2, thousands and thousands of years happened. Because when God first made the earth, when he first began the process of it, the sons of God sang out in praise. You can find this in Job. They rejoiced when he made the earth. But see, it's skipping all that and showing us what happened. Something happened to the earth. The earth was in good shape before it became without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. So the Spirit of God came to restore it. And the Lord said, let there be light. That was the first day. Now, time. Time is a limitation. There are 6 days that God worked. On the seventh day, he rested. What he did in the restoration week mirrors what happens in the covenant week. The covenant week, 1,000, remember something, you got to understand about God. 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. But he used one of our days to represent what he would do in one of his days. Now, in the covenant week, this is Friday. In other words, when Adam was alive, it would have been, that was the first day, Sunday. He died at the age of 930 years. He lived to be 930 years old, 70 years shy of a day. He didn't make a day. Peter gave us this information that 1,000 years is like a day. In a day, 1,000 years. And guess who he walked with? He walked with Jesus. And they had the book of Enoch. And they read it. So, in the book of Enoch, Enoch said that Adam lived 70 years shy of a day. You know, the flood of Noah happened on a Monday. You know, Jesus died on a Wednesday. Okay, we'll come back to that another time. But listen, in the middle of the week, Jesus died for us. 2,000 years later is now. And he is about to come and rule and reign on the last day, the Sabbath. He's going to reign on the Sabbath day, the last 1,000 years of man's history. But all of this creation lesson is not the point. The point is light and darkness. God said, let there be light. And he saw that the light was good. God divided the light from the darkness. He's still doing that. The Lord gives us his truth, so that we can come out of darkness. But he's not going to make you come out of darkness. He's going to present you with light, so that you can walk out of it on your own free will. Now, I say that to say this. The light of God's word, the light of God's way, the love of God, all the goodness of God is notable. You will notice it in people who choose his way. When people choose to walk in God's word, they do God's word as a way of life. It's notable. They talk different. They respond to things different. Their motives are different than a worldly way, opposite to a worldly way of living. Now, so I've heard of so many ways people say, well, you think you're better than us, or Christian people think they're better than others. No. We come from the same situation, and we found that God is good. Period. We found out God is good, and the hope that he give us is good. And we found out who God is for real, not just a rendition of somebody's story or people or somebody's propaganda. Now, in the world, they use religion to control. That's been going on from the beginning. Once man fell, people want God to be in their image. You know, Jesus had this problem too. He would be going about doing what God gave him. And then there were those who wanted to, they were following him around to see the miracles. And they tried to make a king out of him. You know, when does man quit? Why do people act that way? You know, they wanted to make him a king on their terms. Israel wanted a king like the other nations. When God was their king, and he used prophets to reveal his real will, and give them, and then they turned from all that, and they wanted to be like the other nations. So the problem is, you're going to have terrible conflict if you try to understand God from a worldly standpoint. It's not going to happen right. You can't know God if you're going to look at him with worldly glasses. You got to get the word of God to know him for who he is. You got to trust him. You got to put your faith in him. You got to come to the light and learn who he is. And again, you can't be brainwashed, because he's going to reveal the truth, and you'll receive it if that's what you want, if that's what you desire. But if you love the world, the world always causes enmity against God. The Lord told me this. I read it last time, but I'll look it out, read it again. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. Don't forget that. The word Jesus said, love not the things of this world. They cause you to be the enemy of God. And it's true. I read that scripture for years, but you know, the Lord brought it back to me. All right, now these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Everything is free. And again, I'm working on a website for my dad. I got his tapes, and I'm getting them cleaned up and making a website out of them. I mean, a page on my website, newlivingletters.com. So everything is free. But these broadcasts are also longer on newlivingletters.com. Now, what I'm trying to say, John chapter 6 explains this perfectly. Now, we're about out of time, but if you study John chapter 6, verse 15, verse 14 to 15, this says this, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Right? People want God on their terms, and that's a problem. But when you love God, you receive the Lord as he is, and then he's real in your life. That's different than trying to get God to live on your terms. But you're surrendering your life to His, and you're living according to His love now. See, when people, sometimes Christian people, they want God on their terms. And they try to form a relationship with God out of a tradition. They have a traditional relationship. Now, they may love Him, but they don't know Him. The only way to know Him is to love Him through Jesus Christ. And let the Word say what the Word says. And through the light, you'll see all the superstitions that people come up with for the lie that it is. You'll understand God better, and you won't see him in the false traditional way. You won't just be living by people's private interpretations anymore. Now, I love to listen to Charles Capps. He passed several years ago, but sometimes they still play some of his old broadcasts on TV, and I was blessed to see. And, you know, Kent, there's a new television station, the Victory Channel, and there are men and women of God on the Victory Channel that's teaching the Word of God. I love it. But I saw Charles Capps on the Victory Channel, and he said the Lord told him to just forget everything he learned from the religious view and just study the Word as it really is. And he became one of the most sound preachers I ever heard. And he taught people how to confess faith and many other wonderful principles. He's one of my favorite preachers. And I don't just love to preach. I love to hear good preachers. And I'm standing on the shoulders of many preachers. You know, the Lord used many preachers to help me grow up. But I can't settle for my will. I can't settle for somebody else's will. So I can't settle for somebody's private interpretation of who God is, when the Word of God reveals Him and the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth. So, if somebody has their ideas and opinions, and they tell it to me, trying to persuade me, and I hear what they're saying, I'm going to, you know, I yield to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And He has always helped me clear up misunderstandings. See, it's important to know what's right with what's right and what's wrong with what's wrong. We don't just receive the light, we also reject darkness. Darkness is entrapment. Darkness is entrapment. God loved the light and He hated that darkness. And he used light and darkness to show different principles through because He's communicating with His creation. And guess what? They're still watching. From the time God said, "Let there be light," all eyes have been on earth. And there's still, everything is recorded. I'm not just saying this. These are facts. I can prove it with scripture. But for the sake of time, let's focus on the Lord. If you receive what the Lord has to say in His Word, and you yield to it, you give way to God's way, you do it God's way, you operate in God's love, you live in His peace. If you follow the peace, you're going to follow God. There is no peace to the wicked. Only God's people have peace. And the dictionary representation of peace is not the kind of peace we're talking about here that Jesus gave us. He gave us peace with God. And our definition of peace is not just an absence of war or when nobody's bothering you. This kind of peace is fellowship with the Father. That's peace. From the time I asked the Lord to save me, I walked in that peace. If I sin, the peace was interrupted. And then I quickly repent and go back to and seek to go back to balance. I want to keep my fellowship with God. My fellowship with the Lord is more important than everything else. You can have all the substance that you want and wish for, but if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it don't mean as much. See, you can lose everything you own in a day, but with your relationship with the Lord, you can attain all things again. Anybody who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if they seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, all things will be added. So, why? Because he's going to take care of you. If you seek first the kingdom of God, it's because that's what you decided of your own free will. Now, some people won't choose to do that. They never will. They just exclude themselves. Because of what I read earlier, the Lord said to me, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter what happens, they are going to be God's enemy. And since I brought it up, let's read the whole thing. He said, all who love the world system is the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They align themselves with the world. The world is headed by Satan, not God. Okay? So anybody who receives Satan's temptation and he allure them into something, it could be lust, it could be greed, it could be pride, or all three, or combinations. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it's there. Only people who believe God love God. These are facts. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. Nor can they value it. Now that's a problem. They won't enter into the light of God's word, the glories of the Lord, as they see it. And it is notable, just like I said earlier. But they won't enter in themselves. They may ask somebody to pray for them when they have need, but they still won't enter in. Then he said, nor can they value it. And they will never yield. They are opposite. They are fallen. They remain fallen, said the Lord. They remain fallen by choice because they love something in the world. He said, they are fallen and they remain fallen, saith the Lord. And it's because they treasure the world somewhere. They are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it of their own free will, mind you. They will reject it according to the parable of the sower. And Jesus showed us in the parable of the sower why people don't hear and receive and partake of God's word. But they that are of a good and honest heart, they receive the word and it bears roots and they bring forth fruit with patience. See, when you hear the word, it's up to you to receive it and believe it and then act on it at your own free will. You may have to drag your children to church. You may try to coerce your family, friends, and sisters and brothers to go to church, or even parents sometimes, because you know God is good. That's why you attempt to do that. But unless they come to a point that they do it because they want to, their end won't be good. Every child of God, hear me well, every child of God we love God of our own free will. He's going to give us the light. He's going to heal our bodies. He's going to bless us. If we lay hands on the sick, he's going to heal them. If we preach the word, he's going to back it up. Is he going to be good to them? Of course he is. But their response is up to them, whether they love God or love the world. And people who love God and the world, they end up being Laodicea. They don't even know their condition. So it's important for every child of God to walk in love and obey God, do God's word. You're not obeying him so he'll love you. He loves you. You love him because he first loved you. And you'll obey him because that's what you desire to do. That's what you treasure now. Nobody makes me do the things of God. I want to. I pray for my life. And I take care of my body so I can live and carry this anointing. I enjoy life. I enjoy people. I enjoy my family. I enjoy my friends. I love them all. I love God. And I got to be here to preach. Now, if I go to heaven, I'll have more fun because there's more to do there. And there's no fight. But I don't mind the warfare. I'll fight the good fight of faith because I get to stay here and preach. And I love preaching, not to show off, not to look good, but to win souls, keep people from going to hell. I've seen people fall into that pit.